His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. Amen. I want to use for a thought or title or topic today, the essentials of worship. Amen. The essentials of worship. Amen. Psalm 100 is what they call the old 100. It is the psalm that we, when we talk about it in the old church, where they say, let's sing some of those old 100s. This is the chief psalm when it came to calling it the old 100. Because this psalm, in it contains so many encouragements for us to praise God. It gives us the reasons. It gives us the understanding why we should praise God and the things that we should praise God for. Amen? Amen. This psalm is somewhat to some of us an encouragement to praise and continue to praising, but then to others of us, it is a rebuke to praise God, because many of us, we wake up in the morning and we don't give God thanks. We go throughout our day and we won't call on him. So when he allowed the devil to handle us, then we start to call on the Lord. Amen. And sometimes that happens because we refuse in our own pride, and maybe sometime in our own busyness, amen, we forget to give God thanks and praise. The Bible declares to us that we should give him thanks in everything. In all things, give him what? Thanks. In the good and the bad, in the ups and the downs, I need to thank God. Amen. And some of us do understand that we thank God it ain't as bad as it could have been. Amen. But I thank God that even if it gets as bad as it could be, that he's still God and he's able to deliver me. He's able to pick me up and put me back on track. Amen. Amen. So we ought to be thankful for those things. But when we look at this psalm, it is a psalm of praise. It is the psalm of praise, the number one psalm of praise when it comes to the liturgy of the church, because this is where we go when we want to talk about praise. Amen. But when we start talking about praise, it's hard to talk about praise and not talk about some other elements that we need in our worship. Amen. Because once you begin to praise God, we then need to learn how to pray to God, and we need to learn how to worship God. Amen. But when you think about praise, it tells us that everything that had breath can what? Praise God. Everything that hath breath can praise God. That is including the birds, the animals, the dogs, the trees, the whatever. Everything that hath breath can praise God, but only those who know him can truly worship him. Oh, hallelujah. Only those people who know him can truly worship him. In other words, only those people who really know what he's worth can show what he's worth. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You got people, you understand something. You got some folks that don't know what you're worth. Amen. They don't know what your clothes are worth, but you know what they're worth. So when people come to you and they try to get your clothes dirty, you say, hold on, don't step on these shoes, because the shoes that I got on are worth more than about $10. It's worth more than this. Maybe my shoes worth $500, and I don't want you to scuff them up, because I can't go back and buy them up, because they're worth something. Amen. So you know what it's worth. And so when you know what your God is worth, you won't let somebody to tell you how to worship him. You won't wait for somebody to tell you that it's time to praise God. You won't wait for somebody to tell you that, oh, it don't take all of that, because you don't know what it takes for me. You don't know what it takes for me to get my praise through, to get myself in the presence of God, because you wasn't there when God brought me through a whole bunch of stuff. Matter of fact, if you was there, you would have talked about me. But thank God you wasn't there. Amen. Lord have mercy. So when we talk about worship, you have to know what God is worth. You have to know him. Now, it says in verse 1, I won't be before you very long here, I think. But he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The word make means that we have the ability to create this. We have the ability to create it. Now, the thing about when we come to church, we should feel guilty about a sick person coming to church and leaving sick. You know why? Because we ought to create an atmosphere for God to be able to heal them. I'm telling you, we have the power and ability to do so, but we have to get on one accord. Amen. All right, I'm going to leave that alone. Y'all getting quiet there. But he said, make a joyful noise. You can create this noise. He says, a joyful noise, a noise. Now, every noise is not always joyful. you know, but we need to make a joyful noise, a noise that make you want to say, what's going on? You know, you know how when, you know, your children in a room and they make a certain noise, you know that noise ain't the right kind of noise. But then when they make a joyful noise, you know they're all right. Right. And even when you're younger, if you're in a room and you hear something going on outside and you hear a whole bunch of joyful stuff, you run out to see what's going on, what they doing. And so your noise ought to make people want to know, what are you doing? Your noise ought to make people want to know. And so he says, make a what? Joyful noise. Now, listen to this. When he says we are the first off, the one thing that one of the essentials is praise. And so he started to say make a joyful noise. And what this word noise means, it means a few different things. But it was a few things I want that caught my attention. The word noise here, it means to make a loud cry or a loud noise that splits the ear. It splits the ear. And we're quiet when it comes to praising God. And sometimes noise get on our nerves. Oh, hallelujah. But this kind of noise, when it's joyful, if you're at the basketball game and your team just made a dunk like Rick used to do, we would make some noise. We would make some noise. And those noises would make other people make noise. And before you know it, you don't mind that kind of noise because it's a celebratory noise. And we ought to at least be celebrating with others the things that God has done for them. The Bible declares to us that we ought to rejoice with them that rejoice. Now, if you're happy, I ought to rejoice with you. Amen. If you got some things that God has done for you, I ought to say praise the Lord. I ought to be able to get my hands together and say, oh, that's a good thing God has done for you. Instead of me getting envious and angry and saying, I don't know why God did it for him and won't do it for me. You just wait your turn. If you live in my neighborhood, if the mailman delivers down the street, all I need to do is wait because he's coming down. Wait till you get to my box so I can rejoice with you. Lord have mercy. Get in the neighborhood of praise. Oh, hallelujah. Get in the neighborhood where people are being blessed. And if they're being blessed, then you say, I'm next in line. Don't let them get you out of line and say, oh, I give up. Oh, he got the last. No, he ain't get the last gift because the Bible said that he'll supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. In other words, he never runs out. He's so rich. Not just in houses and land, but in joy and in peace and whatever you need, God has it. So we ought to make a joyful noise. The word noise not only means to make a loud cry that splits the ear. And the thing about this is that you got to understand your praise. You got to praise God. And you ought to praise him loud. The reason being is because there's an enemy called Satan. And his name, Satan, means the accuser of the brethren. And what he does day and night, according to the book of Revelations, is that he accuses you all day long. He accuses you all day, all night. Lord, look at them. They ain't no good. They're liars. They're backbiters. They're cheaters. They gossip. They do. And some of the stuff he said, you know what, might be true. But you know how I laughed about something one day. I was saying something one day, and my daughter, she was, she didn't want a friend to hear what I was saying. So she got louder than me, so the friend couldn't hear what I was saying. And I figured out I got tickled about it because she showed me something. See, the devil is accusing you. And since he's accusing you, I don't want God to hear that. Oh, God. Don't pay attention to him. Pay attention to what I'm doing, right? I'm praising you. I'm lifting you up. I'm calling your name. I wish I had somebody in here. The devil, he's always talking about you. He's always hating on you. But I'm going to get loud enough that the devil can't. He can't keep God. He can't get God's attention. So, but not only does it mean that, but the word noise also means to destroy. Lord have mercy. What does this noise destroy? It destroys the silence of the enemy's attack in your life. Notice what the enemy does. Whenever he attacks you, and what happens to you? You get silent. You say, I don't really want to talk to nobody. I want to get out of the way. I really just don't want to deal with stuff right now. I just want to be by myself. And you get in your room and you're quiet. Why the enemy does that is because he wants to get you off track. He wants to be able to bombard your mind with stuff other than praise. That's why he tells us in, Philippians chapter 3, I believe it says, he said, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are true, chapter 4, whatsoever things of a good report, and I believe it's around verse 8, he says, think on what? These things. He don't want you to think on the right things. And so he said, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise. See, that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to think on something else. He wants you to be silent. He don't want you to open your mouth. We got to remember what God told Joshua. He said, Joshua, if you really want to get, if you really want to defeat Jericho, he said, look, you don't really have to fight. This is what I want you to do. I want you to walk around the wall. And when the enemy think you ain't going to do nothing for 7 days, he said, the seventh day, I want you to put in more work than you did all the other days. And he said, when you walk around the seventh day, walk around it 7 times this time. But when you get around the last time, I want you to blow the trumpet. I want you to make some noise. I want the people to say, oh, I wish I had somebody. It's a time for you to open your mouth. Whenever the enemy, oh, come on and say amen. Whenever the enemy think you ain't about nothing and you can't do nothing, I dare you to praise God. He think that he got you defeated. He thinks that he has you shackled. He thinks that he has you down. But then you just wait a minute and say, you know what? You thought you had me, but Jesus grabbed me, and here I am. He took me out the mire, put me in the choir, and now I can praise him. Yeah. Hallelujah. We got to praise him. We got to pray. We got to let the devil know you didn't do nothing. You thought you did something. But you didn't do anything. What did Job do? The Bible said that when he found out he lost everything, when he found out his children was gone, when he found out his cattle was gone and all his camels was gone and everything else, his sheep was gone, the Bible said, Job said, the Lord give it. He began to worship God. He got down and began to pray. Don't you know that made the devil scratch his head and say, what is wrong with this fool? I just did all this to him, and all he can do is think about God. You know, we don't think about God when something done to us. We think about what we can do back. We think about how to get back at him. But look, don't think about how to get back at him. Think about, let me get in God's faith, because God will fight my battles for me. I don't have to fight. All I need to do is worship. I don't have to get even. All I got to do is get in God's face. I wish I had somebody in here. Stop getting even with everybody. Let them talk. Let them do you wrong. Let them do whatever. But the Bible declares to us that if they crucify you, God will raise you back up. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. He'll raise you back up. Now look at here. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I'm just in the first verse. I'm sorry, God. Oh, he said, all ye, everybody. Everybody, every nation, denomination, every type of people, you ought to be praising God. You ought to be giving God some praise. And I know sometimes we think that, you know, because we go to different churches and, you know, we don't want to praise God. Let me talk, because I'm talking the living word right now. Because sometimes we go to churches where people are quiet and we get quiet with them. I understand give custom to whom custom do. If that's their custom to be quiet, but then sometimes let them tell you that, oh, that's not our custom. Let's make some noise. Let them tell you, no, we don't make noise in here, so we'll know that we're not welcome. Amen. Let's let them know that we came to lift up God. That's the reason why we're here. Amen. We came to make a joyful noise. We came to celebrate with you. You invited us to a celebration, and I don't see no celebrating going on. How in the world you invited me to an anniversary? That's a celebration. And all you want to do is sit here, cross your legs, and pick your fingernails and wait on time to go eat. We can't be doing that. We got to come into the house and eat on the word. We got to come into the house and rejoice in the Lord. And Paul say, again, I say, rejoice. Keep on rejoicing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He said to destroy. We got to destroy the enemy. We have to destroy his work. We have to destroy what he's trying to destroy. He's trying to destroy us, so we have to fight back by giving God praise. If you don't believe that God will fight your battle when you praise him, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20, and you read that whole verse, he talks about Jehoshaphat and how Jehoshaphat had the enemies all around him, and all he could think of is, God, what am I going to do now? I don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, sudden, after the people in the choir were singing, there was a songster in the choir that the Spirit of God fell on, and he said, you don't have to fight in this battle. He said, all you need to do is know that this battle is not yours. It belongs to God. God was setting them. Look, you got to understand something. God will set you up. God will bring the enemy into your territory to leave you some stuff. I don't have time to preach that, but I got to say this. God will bring the enemy. See, they needed some stuff at that time, and God decided that he was going to bring the enemy into their territory. But when they begin to praise God, God set up ambushments. They fought against each other, and they left. And when they left blessings. And it ended up that they were in the Valley of Baraka, which means the Valley of Blessing. And they took 3 whole days to pick up the spoils that was left by the enemy. Now, what am I saying here? I'm saying that every time the enemy come, we got to stop crying and start praising. When the enemy come, we got to stop getting all discouraged and be encouraged. Oh, God is setting me up now. God must have saw I needed something. And so you needed your name out there. So the enemy lied on you, got everybody talking about you. But there's somebody going to say, nah, that ain't them. I know them too well. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, you got to understand that you needed something that from that enemy when he came. But when he left you with whatever he left you with, it was God's doing all the time. He didn't destroy you. He didn't take you out, but you got something better. And sometime when the enemy come, we go on a high spiritual level. See, I wouldn't have got on that level if the enemy wouldn't have fought me on this level. I wouldn't have said, let me flap my wings and see how high I could go, because I thought I was all right on the ground hunting around with the chickens. But I've realized that I wasn't a chicken. I didn't know I was an eagle till the enemy, the fox, came in the hen house and I spread my wings and flew. Hallelujah. You wouldn't have never known that you could fly until the fox came in the hen house. Lord have mercy. I'm trying to help somebody today. If I ain't help nobody, I'm helping me today. Hallelujah. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, all ye lands. Then he goes on, and then he says in verse 2, he says, serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. We got to understand that everybody ought to praise God, but everybody ought to come and praise him with the right attitude. When we come in God's presence, it's important for us to have the right attitude. If we have the wrong attitude, it's very, very dangerous for us to be in God's presence with the wrong attitude. The Bible says that the high priest, that if his heart wasn't right and he went in God's presence, that you know what they did? They tied a rope to him. They tied a rope to his ankle, and as he went in, when he went in and his heart wasn't right, he died on the spot because he was in God's presence with the wrong attitude, with the wrong heart. He died, and so they kept the rope so they can pull him out. And when they pulled him out, they realized that this man must not have been right. Amen? And it's for God to judge whether right or wrong, but we need to have the right attitude. He says, serve the Lord with what? Gladness. And how in the world can we get people to want to be Christians, or even to come to our churches, when we got a bad attitude, when we frowning and fussing all the time, look like you've been sucking on lemons, you swallowed waltzes, looks like, oh, come on and say amen, look like you've been baptized in pickle juice, and you ask how you doing, I'm doing all right, say praise the Lord, and we just sad all the time. We got to get out of that. We got to serve the Lord with gladness. If you got joy, you ought to show that joy when you meet people, amen. I don't care what it looks like, you need to have hope. And when a person has hope, they have joy, because they know that my hope is in God, and I know God won't leave me like this. I know God won't let me stay like this. I got some joy. Do I have anybody that has some joy in their heart? Do I have anybody that has hope and say, you know what, I'm going to serve the Lord with gladness? And the problem may be that we don't realize that we serve God on a daily basis. Serving God is not just coming to church. You need to already serve him before you get to church. Preach up in here. We need to serve the Lord before we get here. Every day we wake up, I wake up in service. Amen. I wake up. And when we talk about serving, that means you have to submit yourself to him. That means that you have to humble yourself before him. And so maybe that's the problem with many of us who are not glad because we're not submitted. preach. Many of us may not be submitted when we think we are, because we are doing our duty. I come to church. No, but what about service? Are you actually helping anybody? Are you spreading the word? Are you praying for anyone? Are you doing anything to affect anybody's life? Are you just putting yourself first? And you know what? I realized they had this little acronym a while back. They said that in order to have joy, you got to know what joy is. And joy is an acronym. It means Jesus first, others second, and then yourself. And so in other words, I need to put God first, and I need to put others before myself. And that way I can serve the Lord with joy and gladness. Come on and say amen. But we are serving in a church that in this age that people are so covetous that it's all about them. And when something don't happen their way, the way that they want it to happen and how they want it to happen, then all of a sudden they can't serve with joy. They get angry. Then after they get angry, they say, I don't feel it no more. And then when they don't feel it no more, then they say, start telling other people how to feel. And before you know it, you got you a clique. And all of y'all feel the same way. Ain't nobody, you know, I feel led now. Everybody feel led whenever they write with a pencil. But we got to stop feeling led, and we got to know the Spirit of God. Oh, come on and say amen. We got to know what the Spirit of God is saying to us. We got to know. And even though we may not be happy, we still have joy and gladness. I wish I had somebody. Why? Because happiness come from what? Happenings. I happen to win the lottery. I happen to get blessed on my job with a bonus. I happen to walk in a store and somebody paid for my grocery. That's a happening. That makes me happy. But I got joy, and that joy comes from the Lord. The Bible said, the joy of the Lord shall be my strength. And you know what? That's why I'm strong enough to smile whenever I'm going through. I'm strong enough to lift up my head. Oh, come on and say amen. And to the hills from whence cometh my help, for my help comes from the Lord. Am I going too fast for you? Maybe I'll slow it down. And the Bible says that we are to come before him with singing. His presence. With what? Singing. And the problem here now is that we all have a song, but we don't all want to sing it. We all have a song. Everybody in here has a song for what God has done for you. It may not be a song like you want it to sound, but I guarantee you got a song that God has given you. You know what songs really are? Songs are testimony. You know what psalms are? Psalms are prayers and testimonies. David said, in my distress, I called on the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That's a song. Amen. And what David was saying is, in my testimony, I thought I was going to die in front of Abimelech, but I started to act a fool and praise God. And all of a sudden, he said, I can't mess with this man. This can't be the David I heard about. I wish I had somebody, but the Lord delivered him. Do I have anybody to say, I had some stuff going on in my life, but when I came out of it, oh, come on and say amen, I couldn't do nothing but give God some praise and lift up his holy name. And maybe you only did it in the shower, but at least you sung it. I wish I had somebody. Oh, he said, come before his presence with what? Singing. Talk about how good God is. Talk about how great God is. And that's why when you pray, sometimes your prayer turn into a song. Your prayer turn into, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I appreciate everything you've done. And you get your little rhythm, and your breathing get right, and you start feeling good, because now your prayer has just turned into a song, because at that moment it's kicked in, and now you're in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Is that all right? Let me go on a little further. I don't want to hold you very long, but I want to get this to you. Amen. He says in verse 3, he says, now we got a reason to praise God here in verse 3. He said, know ye that the Lord, he is God. Now we ought to worship God because of who he is. And we praise him because of what he's done. So he tells us, it is he that hath made us. Now we got to praise him because, first of all, we worship him because he's God. And if he's God, he's sovereign. What does that mean? He's super reigning. He reigns supreme. There's no other reign above him. And since he's sovereign, he can do what he wants. So I don't have a right to complain and stop praising him. I don't have a right to complain and stop praying to him. I don't have a right to complain and hold back my worship from him. I wish I had somebody. We don't have a right to stop praising and worshiping God, because it is right for us to worship him. Verse 3 says also, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. And we think that sometimes I'm a self-made man. Oh, you better watch out, pride. I'm not a self-made man. I'm a God-made man. And you know what? You may not like how God made me. You may not like the stuff that I had to go through to get to where I am today. But thanks be to God, I'm here where I am today. All glory be to God. You know, some people, you know, they have problem with your past and they have problem with whatever you do. But, you know, we're all being made by God. And I'm still on the wheel. I don't know about you, but I'm still on the wheel. I'm still a work in progress. You hadn't seen the finished product yet. What you see right here is somebody whose God's hand is on. Somebody who God is still what? Molding and making. Somebody who God is still shaping. And so if you're ever to the point to where you say, I am all that I'm going to be and I'm made already, then you are at the point that there ain't nothing else for God to do but to take you on home, because it ain't no more making now. See, as long as you're able, as long as you're flexible enough to be bent a little bit and flexible enough to be smoothed out and to be pushed in, and when you feel that pressure, know that it's God that's making me. I'm still on the potter's wheel, and sometimes he have to break me down and make me over again. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I'm just like that? It is God that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. We need to know who we belong to. I know who I belong to. I know my Redeemer lives. I know that God is the one that owns me. The earth is the Lord. And, oh, come on and say amen. And everybody that's in the earth belongs to God. And since everything and everybody belong to God, I don't have a right to judge another man's servant, another man's creation. I wish I had somebody. So watch how you treat me, and I got to watch how I treat you, because when I treat you wrong, I'm treating the very word of God wrong, because you are a word from God. Nothing exists without God's word making it exist. I wish I had somebody in here today. All right. Okay. I can't get too many amens, but that's all right. He said, we are his people. Then he goes on to say, the sheep of his what? Pasture. In other words, we are the products of God's love and kindness. And not only that, He's pastured us. And what does that mean? When we realize that he is our provider, we realize that I can't make it without God. And when a person realizes that they can't make it without God, they don't have a problem praising and worshiping God. They don't have a problem praying to God. They don't have a problem lifting up God. They don't have a problem agreeing with you that God is good. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. They don't have a problem joining in when you praise God. They ain't got to ask what you praising God for. If you saying hallelujah, oh, hallelujah. That's the kind of people I want to be around. When they you say praise the Lord, they react with praise the Lord. Oh, glory be to God. Because he is worthy to be praised. Amen. He says that we are the sheep of his pasture. And if we're the sheep of his pasture, we got to remember that he's the shepherd. And if he's the shepherd, we got to remember the legend of the shepherd. What does the shepherd do? The shepherd guides us. He leads us. If we fall, he has a rod. He has a rod for the wolf, that if the wolf come in, he's going to beat the wolf till he die with his rod. Boom. But he has a staff for those he lead. And what does the staff represent? The staff, it represents where whenever it has a crook on the end of it. And what he does is that when a sheep falls through the cracks, he reaches down and he hooks him. And he pull him out of the, and you know, I know this. The reason I'm a witness to this is because I fell in the cracks. And I know the shepherd will pick you up out of the crack. Lord have mercy here. And you know what else is for? It is for when a sheep, you know, the sheep, if you ever watch how they move and how they follow the shepherd, you got one in the front and then they kind of all kind of pack in behind them. And it's kind of like triangular in the way that they follow the shepherd. But sometimes there's that sheep that get out of line and the shepherd turn around and look. And instead of him saying, get back in line, he just grabbed him, man, with that staff and he yanks him back. And sometimes, you know how I know that? Let me tell y'all how I know it. Let me testify. Because I did this one day. And I realized that I was wrong when he grabbed me and yanked me back in line. But the Bible said, a just man, he fought.